This is Katie and Kay Carbondale. Support for Katie and Kay comes from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Secure, informed, and connected. 970-948-7992. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Yeah. First day of June. Can you believe it?
I'm still trying to figure out how that happened.
Well, it's got something to do with the calendar, I think.
Yeah, something to do with the calendar, yeah. The days of the year, and so forth.
Yeah. It's a feature, not a bug, as they say.
There you go.
Yeah. So, hey, the name of the game is Geek Speak. Our number is 970-963-2976, and you are welcome to call in with any question regarding technology, phones, tablets, cable jiggling.
Yep.
AI, dare I say.
Yep.
Because, yes, we are going to talk about AI today.
Yes.
And other things.
And other things.
Yeah. But we are open. If you're having trouble with getting your computer to talk to your printer, or if you're having trouble talking to the world, if you don't like the world is saying back to you, we got nothing for you on that. But
cotton in your ears and just stick your head in the sand.
Well, there is always going for a walk.
There is.
So leaving your tech at home and going for a walk.
I strongly recommend that.
Yes. Yeah. I tell people all the time, I'm like, you know, for a computer guy, I tell people to put their computers down a lot. Because, you know, when somebody calls you at 11:30 on a Saturday night and leaves you a message that their email's not working, it could be the sign of a problem.
Yes.
I can think of very few scenarios where that would be qualify as an emergency, you know.
Yes, or 7:30 on Christmas morning.
Oh yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that's my record holder.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I was actually revisiting a situation a few years ago where one of my clients had a major meltdown on New Year's Eve, and despite the fact that I put almost 3.5 hours into it and got a kind of janky Band-Aid solution working, ended up getting kicked to the curb because I didn't fix it all the way on New Year's Eve remotely. So anyway, so let's see what's going on in your world there, Matt.
Oh, picked up one of the MacBook Neos.
Okay.
So it's an iPad with a keyboard running Mac OS.
Okay. But it does not have a touch screen, right?
No touch screen.
Okay. Steve Jobs won't have to roll over in his grave.
No.
So, okay, looks like we got a call.
You're on with the geeks.
Hey, Louie, it's Peter. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Peter?
Well, I got a new problem that I haven't had ever since I bought my new Epson printer when it was about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
You know, I just hit print. Okay. I would just hit print, and it would print. And now I hit print, and it says no printer found. And then I go look at it, and I highlight the printer, and won't do anything. What I did is I turned off, I rebooted, I did all that good stuff. Finally, what I did is I opened up the Epstein panel on the app, printed, and then it started printing. And then all of a sudden, the other morning, it doesn't want to do it.
Huh. Well.
Is this a Mac or a PC?
Mac. It's on the iPad and the iPhone.
Okay. And it's not printing from any of those devices. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
When it fails, it fails.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No printer found. And then I kind of do it manually, and then it says no printer found.
Got it. Have you tried turning your internet router off and back on again?
No, I have not done that. Although one thing that was strange is when I went to the printer, I checked if any firmware or anything needs to be updated. And when I looked at the SS something, and the network settings, did it look the same as on the iPad for the internet connection?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
So are you saying that are you saying that the iPad and the printer are connected to different Wi-Fi networks? Is that what you're where you're going?
No, they should all, but they should all be on the same one. But when I looked at when I went into settings on each, the network setting for the let's just say the iPad was not the same as the network setting for the Epstein. I kind of thought that was Epstein. No, Epstein. I can't say that. Epstein.
I was just getting ready to say that, you know, we're also Epstein'd out here. Well, let's see. So, you definitely need to be on the same Wi-Fi network, the devices that are, and technically there are ways that a network can be configured where it wouldn't matter, but I've run into problems where two devices that are on different Wi-Fi networks, you know, if your printer and your iPad or computer or whatever on different Wi-Fi networks, there are instances where printing will break down as a result of that. So I don't know if I'm tracking with you properly. Well, that go ahead.
No, well, I'm saying since I've got one network, you know.
Okay, all right.
It's just strange that the two numbers came up differently when I was in settings.
Oh, you mean the IP address? Okay.
Yes. Well,
that's actually, it has to be that way. Every device on the network has to have the very last set of numbers has to be different on every device.
Different. Then that's not it.
Yeah.
Well,
okay.
But make sure the first three are the same. So it should be like something it should be like 10.1.10 dot something or 10.1.1 dot something. Just to make sure you're on the same subnet because there's a way to break up which IP addresses can talk to which IP addresses, and so you have to make sure you're on this what we call a subnet, and so you want to make sure that the first three subnet numbers are the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I did check that. I'm not at home now. I'm driving back on lovely Highway 2, but you know the only thing I was thinking was okay, let me go back to the Epstein. I'm going to say app, open it up, hit print, which it will print, and then every time I wanted to print the last time, it would print. But then, like I said, this week, it just stopped, I think, on Thursday.
Got it.
Printing. And I'm just going,
Well, I would definitely start out by rebooting your router. Because it is, I mean, it's like a common point of failure for all your different devices. You know, and so when things stop talking to each other, we usually go there. It's kind of like the Lily Tomlin switchboard situation. and the thing that can be deceptive is that you can have certain devices that are just acting perfectly fine and others that aren't. And people will come to a diagnosis of, well, it couldn't be the router because computer A is working fine. But it can basically, or, you know, I won't get too deep into the nerdiness of it, but there are reasons that a router that's in a state of distress which can be fixed by rebooting it can correct the issue. I'm also going to say that the mechanism by which a iPhone or an iPad print directly to a printer like this is very different than the mechanism through which a computer prints usually.
Very often, yes.
Yeah. So the fact that that you're having problems with all the different devices that, you know, kind of tells me something, kind of leads me in the direction that maybe you might have a glitch with your printer.
Yeah, I was tempted towards the factory defaulting the printer and making sure the firmware is up to date and reconnecting it to your network. I would also suggest happens to be next to your Wi-Fi router, I would strongly encourage you to take a patch cable from your router and just plug the printer in if that is in fact available for that printer.
Oh, okay. I could probably do that.
Yeah, that'll make it a little more rock solid.
All right. They gave me some ideas. So
all righty.
I'll do that.
Okay.
All right.
Take care, Peter.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Gotta love Wi-Fi printing.
Yeah, I've basically have a policy of if it's working when I drive off, That's where my warranty ends.
It works.
It worked when I left. There's a test print on your computer that it did work.
Yeah.
But after that, I am not.
If it stops working after you microwave some popcorn, it's all on you.
Yep. That's where. So it's like, I'm to the point where it's like, and I've been like this for about 15 years. It's like, just if you can, plug them into the, get an Ethernet patch cable. And although some of the newer HPs don't have Ethernet ports on them.
Yes.
Which is just
obnoxious. Or the Ethernet port is designed only for initial setup. Have you come across that?
I have not run into that.
Yeah, I've come across one where basically they said that port's only for initial setup. That once you get it set up and joined to your Wi-Fi network, you need to unplug it. And so,
all right,
the other thing I was going to say, what was I going to say? I'm 63 years old and I can't remember what I was going to say. Let's see. I was going to say something to the effect of, I liked your idea of the firmware. Those Epsons seem to pop up after a couple months of buying them and always want the firmware updated. So that's, and that's something you can do right on the control panel of the printer.
Yep.
Should have the instructions right there if you just, stay patient with them.
Yeah, so. It should be, it's basically, it's at some point during the day, it'll pop up and say, hey, I have a firmware update. Would you like me to update now? And you go, sure.
Yeah,
because very, very rarely, at this point in technology, does a firmware update break something that was working?
Mm-hmm.
There are caveats to that where, the parent company may decide to take a feature away with a firmware update, which I have seen. I have heard stories of that.
Yeah,
and if I ever run across a printer with a, you can only use the Ethernet port for initial setup, I'm going to hit it with a hammer.
Okay.
I'm going to go Office Space on it right then and there.
All right. Hey.
That's unacceptable.
Just send me video.
Okay.
Yeah, so let's see. What are some other aspects of that particular issue that we could touch on? We talked about rebooting the router. We talked about firmware. On a Windows computer, this is just kind of a generic, general... tip for those Windows users out there. I don't think Peter is, but one thing to check is after a Windows update happens, sometimes Windows will turn your firewall back on.
Yeah.
And the firewall thing is a real mystery for a lot of people. In a perfect world, when you're at home, or, the way it should be when you're at home, your Wi-Fi should be on the network profile that's called private. A lot of people, get it backwards. They think, no, I want to be public. I want to go see things, the public setting is a kind of a pre-programmed, I call it the coffee shop setting.
Yep.
And basically, when you're at Starbucks, you want your Wi-Fi to be set in public mode. And that basically keeps that creepy looking guy on the other side of the room from like sifting through your files on your computer. So you want to make sure that when you're in a coffee shop that you're in public mode. When you're at home, you want to be in private mode. If you are not in private mode at home, it is not unusual that your computer will not be able to talk to your printer. Because basically the way I describe it is the public mode only allows your computer to receive content or talk to devices that are outside of your house. In other words, the internet. So, let's see what's else going on here in the, but you're happy with the new laptop, Matt?
Yeah. So I picked up a MacBook Neo so far so good. I mean, my only two complaints are it's like I went ahead and got the one with the larger storage. So instead of 256 has 512.
Okay.
I think the only thing I really would like is 12 gigs of RAM.
Yeah.
I think that's the only thing I would really
It only has 8.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And that, both configurations only have 8.
Yeah. Okay.
So
is it ARM processor?
Yeah, it's the A18.
Okay. Got it.
Which I can't remember exactly what it means, but it's basically an iPad processor. It's the
Like equivalent to an iPad Pro, for instance.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd have to look to see which one exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see, where is it?
You know what I have is I have a couple of iPad Pros. I think they're like 2019s.
Mm-hmm.
And those things, they run the most recent version of the iOS. I mean, they're just, they're great. I mean, it's, I mean, how did that happen? So, it's, I mean, I've had iPad Airs that are 3, 4, 5 years newer that didn't perform like these iPad Pros. The iPad Pros are really, I say my, really solid.
I have a 6-year-old iPad Pro and it runs like the day I bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yeah, they're, if you, listeners out there, if you ever come across somebody who wants to sell you or give you an old iPad Pro, take it.
Yeah.
And if you don't want it, call us. We'll take it. So, yeah. Let's see. So I noticed that, do you know anything about this, the new NVIDIA AI chip, Matt? Do you know anything about this?
I just saw that they announced it yesterday or this morning, and one of my stocks dropped a bunch.
Got it.
And then it went back up.
Yeah.
Such as the stock market.
Okay.
So, it looks like an ARM desktop. They're working with Microsoft real closely. So, I'll be very curious to see what that looks like.
It should be an
interesting little development box.
Yeah. So supposedly you can run, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but like when you go to the, like ChatGPT website, the majority of the processing power, the overwhelming majority of the processing power that's powering that AI transaction or your interaction with the AI agent is happening offsite at some big data facility that's sucking ocean water up to cool down the computers and then acclimating fish to warm water, which is not a good thing necessarily. So this breakthrough or this new chip that NVIDIA is coming out with is going to allow onboard processing, which there are flavors of AI that you can get to run on your computer, and they're actually pretty darn resource tolerant. Have you worked with any of those at all?
I use a tool called LM Studio.
Okay.
And right. I have it running on one of my Linux machines. It has a, I have an old RTX, I think 6 mm-hmm. gig or 8 gig card.
Got it.
And so I ran like older versions of Llama and some other things just mm-hmm. to run them local. It was very interesting to run those that way.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned I was running one called Stable Diffusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I admittedly was running on a computer that had no business running it. It was like a, it was one step above a Celeron or something. It was like an i3, I think, something like that. And just barely had enough hard drive, so I didn't have a whole lot of swap space to make it run properly. But, it's if you have a pretty powerful computer and you use, like, for instance, one of the areas that's really strong is if you use a lot of clip art. If you're, buying, paying money for clip art online, Stable Diffusion, you can, and it takes a while to learn how to build the prompts, but you can basically put in a prompt and say, picture of a father and two sons sitting at a picnic table eating fried chicken. And 2.5 minutes later, you'll have some form of a picture of that. And then you may have to tweak you may have to get more specific and say, a man in his mid-30s sitting at a wooden picnic table with his two sons of grade school age eating fried chicken. And sometimes you have to tweak this prompt down, but you can basically get it. It'll generate pictures for you. And, you can, take and use them in your web content or some, like if you're doing art production pieces, things like that. Matt's got Stable Diffusion.
Yeah, I haven't played with the image part of it.
He's got the classic astronaut riding a horse picture pulled up.
I'm dyslexic, so my main interest is creating a prompt and then having it write regular English.
Okay. All right.
Because the way I put things together is not the way normal humans work.
I thought you were going to say one where you can put the prompt in backwards and it'll come out frontwards.
Almost.
It's not quite that cut and dried, I know. So, yeah. So that is one thing that's going on. I understand that another AI company, Anthropic, has announced today that it is going to an IPO. And... that's going to be kind of a cluster.
Yeah, that'll be
as they say.
That'll be interesting to see what happens with that. And yeah. SpaceX is doing an IPO on the 12th of June.
Yeah,
so that'll be fun to watch. It'll be fun to watch and see how the stock market people.
Yeah. And I'm thinking that SpaceX will probably, and they're probably just absolutely overjoyed at the fact that Jeff Bezos' rocket blew up. So I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic explosion.
Yes, a spectacular failure of a rocket. So
hopefully they have enough telemetry to learn from it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the fun thing is it's like we get to blow things up and figure out why it blew up and then build another one and see if it doesn't blow up again.
Especially when there's no human beings involved.
Exactly.
Yeah, much easier. Yeah,
I saw that, and people were like, I wonder if anybody got hurt. It's like, the exclusion zone's probably 5 miles in every direction. There's probably not a living. There's nobody there.
Just the mice.
The mice. They're going, that was really hot.
Yeah. So, let's see. One other article that I came across, which I think is very important and timely, has to do with their AI voice changing devices and software. And I came across an article that this is courtesy of CNN Business this scam's been going on for probably 15, 20 years. One day my mom got a phone call that was supposedly from my son. And he was being held in a Mexican prison and basically needed her to wire $3,000 to get him out. And this whole AI voice changing, voice cloning technology has really kind of upped the ante on this whole scam. And I'm going to say, the way, and I was very proud of my mom. She was 82 years old. And she was really thinking on her feet, and she came back and she said, well, I just want to make sure it's you. So, Brendan, I wanted to ask you, do you remember what happened at such and such so-and-so's birthday picnic, or whatever? And so I'm going to recommend that that our listeners get a hold of all their key family members and maybe establish a PIN number or a code word that – will absolutely identify that the person on the other end of the phone is a family member and basically, make use of that. Because one of the things that kicks in when one of these calls comes through is we panic. And then our critical thinking skills
window. That's the whole point.
It is, exactly.
To have an emotional response to whatever they're trying to get you to do.
Exactly. And there's usually some sort of a time constraint to put extra pressure on you.
Yep.
We really need to do this. Are we going to be putting them in a holding cell with a couple of cartel members or, whatever. Whether it be a code word or a PIN number that you use with your family members, that's a really good way to just short circuit that one, right? And it's very convincing, the AI voice changing cloning technology. So what were you going
to
say, Matt?
Oh, I was trying to find the scene from Terminator 2 where the T-1000 has killed the parents and the T-800 asks about Wolfie, which is the wrong name for the dog.
Ah, okay. Yep.
But I can't find the quote that quickly.
Yeah. But no, that's
the point.
That's akin to what we're talking about, something very, very personal and specific as a way of identifying. So hopefully, just in passing on that little tip, we've saved a few people some grief right there.
Yep.
So,
we have many stories like that. We could sit here for a couple of days going through them and just. It's like, hey, take a, slow down, figure out what's going on.
Yeah.
Get facts, figure out, confirm who they are.
Yeah.
Call the number you know they have.
Yeah. And don't be surprised by the lengths that these people will go to, because it sounds to me like, the story that's being quoted in this article, it sounded like to the mother that they received the phone call that her daughter was being tortured. And that turns up the heat in a hurry. So, you know, as hard as it is, you know, just say, well, before you cut off her toe, could she tell me like what her dog's, her favorite dog's name was, you know, or whatever. So,
or you just do that gravelly voice. And say, I'm going to, I have a particular set of skills.
Yeah.
I will find you.
Yes. So, all right. What else is going on out there? We've only got about a minute left. So if you want to call, you're going to have to wait till 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
So let's see. Let's talk about when we're going to be back. We'll be back on the 15th. Is that right, man?
Yep. We'll be back on the 15th.
Okay. Sounds good.
And, although I will be out of town. So
will you?
I will.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, let me see if I can find a...
But I may be in cell range. Yeah. We'll have to...
Okay. That'd be fun.
We'll run the numbers.
Yeah. Okay. Good deal.
So...
Do you need to bump that up?
No, that should be plenty.
Okay. Yeah. Well, there we go.
All right. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. I'm your host, Matt McBear from Rowing for Helpdesk in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
All right.
And safe travels to you. Is that your big Washington trip? Or
No.
Yeah.
No, this is just a little...
That's in July.
This is a family vacation. We're going to have a little bit of fun.
Nice.
Do a road trip.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. So, all right. Well, hey, thanks for listening to Geek Speak on KD&K. And we'll talk to you again hopefully on the 15th. And in the meantime, don't touch your knob.